WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
We're going to remember Juan Garcia Esquivel, the Mexican pianist and composer behind perhaps the craziest easy listening music of the 50s and 60s. He died last week at the age of 83. Music critic John Pareles described Esquivel as writing flashy arrangements that changed texture every few seconds and ping-ponged from speaker to speaker. Esquivel came to the States in 1957 to record for RCA. In the 60s, he was a popular act in Vegas and Tahoe. He also wrote soundtrack music for Universal Studios. He returned to Mexico in 79. His music was rediscovered in the 90s during the Lounge Revival. In 94, producer Erwin Chuss had collected Esquivel's music on a CD called Space Age Bachelor Pad Music. In a few minutes, we'll hear the interview we recorded with Esquivel when that collection was released. First, let's hear our 1994 interview with producer Erwin Chusid. His Esquivel CD opens with this version of Sentimental Journey. Erwin Chusid, welcome to Fresh Air.
Hi, Terry.
You know, this Esquivel stuff strikes me in a way as a very flipped out version of square music. And I wonder how it strikes you.
This is from a genre which at the time was known as instrumental pop or easy listening. Strangely enough, in the case of Esquivel, it's not very easy listening. It's often very challenging listening. But this was music that was meant to really test the limits of stereophonic systems back in the late 50s and early 60s. And the genre is a very broad genre encompassing music like Castellanets and Mantovani, which is really very relaxing music. It's very bland. It's very often colorless. It's music really to relax by, just to have in the background. Then there's music like Martin Denny, which creates a great mood and can be listened to and enjoyed, and there is a challenge there. Then you've got the Esquivels, who simply drop down from the planet Jupiter. It's almost as if it is music done in the Earthling style by someone from another planet.
How was the music received in its time? Was it seen as just another easy listening recording, or was it seen as being the experimental version of easy listening?
Well, first of all, in trying to do some research on Esquivel, I came across very little literature, which leads me to believe that he wasn't taken that seriously by the critics at the time. I did find reviews of him in the high fidelity publications from the period, and a lot of reviews in Variety. And they would refer to him as the Mexican Duke Ellington. They would say that what Aaron Copland is to serious music, what a John Coltrane is to jazz, Esquivel is to pop. So there were people who recognized what he was doing back then. He did sell records. He didn't have any chart hits, though they did release a lot of singles. And I think his top-selling album probably sold around 200,000 copies, which is not even a gold record, but enough to keep someone making more records.
So what was he marketed as?
He was marketed as a band leader who composed and arranged for stereo. The earliest stereo records were really the products of engineers in the studio taking popular artists and doing stereophonic mixes. Esquivel would go into the studio and write his charts and arrange his own microphones and set up the band in such a way as to maximize the stereophonic impact of the recording. He had a background in engineering. He had a degree in engineering, in fact, from the University of Mexico. So he knew his way around a recording studio, and he knew what stereo records were capable of doing.
I'd like you to tell us a little bit about Esquivel as a person from what you know of him.
Stubborn, strong-willed, a genius, and I'm sure very, very hardworking, and a perfectionist. And that's one thing I like. This is a man who obviously worked very hard to create music the way he heard it. I find a lot of similarities between Esquivel and Raymond Scott. Maybe that's why I like them both. They're both very stubborn. They're both very strong-willed. They both know their way around a recording studio. They both were probably bullies a bit in the studio. You know, I want this. You do it this way. If you don't do it this way, I'm not going to use you. You've got to do it my way. They were not one to say to a musician, well, however you want to interpret, just go right ahead. I don't think they did that at all. They also were great at going beyond the mere instrumentation that was in front of them, beyond using the personnel. They really knew how to use a recording studio and microphones and a mixing console to try and create something which could not be duplicated on a stage or in a concert hall, to create something that was designed specifically for records.
Erwin Chusett, thank you so much for talking with us.
You're quite welcome, Terry.
Erwin Chusett produced the 1994 reissue of Esquivel's music called Space Age Bachelor Pad Music. Esquivel died last week at the age of 83. In 1994, after we spoke with Chusett, we called Esquivel in Mexico, where he was recovering from a broken hip at his brother's house. We also called a former member of Esquivel's stage show, Yvonne de Bourbon. She danced and sang and managed the band. For several years, she and Esquivel were married. Before we hear that conversation, let's hear Esquivel's version of Bye Bye Blues. Listening back to your music now, it sounds as if you took the blandest form of music, middle-of-the-road music, and made it eccentric and almost avant-garde. And I'm wondering if you thought of it that way.
No. No, I was very criticized at the time because my music was a little ahead of the time. So I was even called crazy. Because my ideas, but it was planned to hit the audience by listening what they were not used to, but it wasn't my intention to be futuristic or avant-garde.
Let me introduce Yvonne de Bourbon. Yvonne, you joined the band in 1965.
That's correct.
Now, what was your place within the band? What did you do?
I was the first dancer that Juan ever used in his show. And I also sang background with the other girls on all of his music, and, of course, backing the other girls when they would sing their solo music.
So what were your dances like?
They were very fun. I would write monologues for Juan to narrate my dances because I would do series of demonstrations of what was popular on the scene at that time, whether it was the monkey and the jerk and the James Brown and all of the steps that were very, very popular. A lot of parents had never had the opportunity to see what their kids were doing in the discotheques, and I had many compliments from parents that said, oh, that's what it was all about, because they had this absurd idea that their kids were doing something that was perhaps a bit risque. So it was a lot of fun, and we always had humor with my dances. And then eventually, learning all of the shows and incorporating a lot of costume changes and one thing or another. Eventually, I went on to also be the manager of the show.
Yvonne, a lot of the vocals that the singers did weren't really lyrics. They were just more like sounds, like zoo, 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 or
right.
pow,
right.
Or in the case of Who's Sorry Now, boink, boink. Actually, let me play a little bit of that. Juan Esquivel, let me ask you why you used sounds like this instead of lyrics. Why did you use boink, boink?
Well, see, when I wrote an arrangement written by a well-known composer, I don't want to be influenced by the lyrics. So my idea was like having a doll, a beautiful doll, with a certain amount of clothes to be dressed at. So sometimes I will just strip the doll. That is, I strip the lyrics, and I use whatever kind of dress I would imagine to put on the doll. Or perhaps sometimes I will strip there completely nude, and perhaps I will use a mini bikini on her, and I may add for fun big mustache and perhaps a cigar.
Juan Esquivel, Yvonne de Bourbon, I want to thank you both for sharing some of your memories with us.
Thank you for having us on your interview.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Juan.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Juan Garcia Esquivel and his former dancer, manager, and wife, Yvonne de Bourbon, recorded in 1994. Esquivel died last week at the age of 83. This is Fresh Air.